there's no denying a Carolina summer when the months of June, July, and August get here. But what about the climate differences within the Carolinas? Part of the beauty of living here is the variety that is here for us and those that are visiting here with us, the landscapes, the things to do, and the climate. But how would you like to be in charge of forecasting those differences and communicating it to a broad viewership, whether it be from the coast to the Piedmont or to the Appalachian Mountains that all call Carolina's homes? We've got Al Conklin, WBTV meteorologist, that's joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors. He has that duty, and we're going to find out about those challenges along with our own challenges of dealing with the Carolina weather on this segment of the Carolina Outdoors. Al Conklin, welcome.
Hey, good to be back, Bill. Thank you.
Hey, tell us about that, this variety of geography that we have here in the Carolinas, from the coast, the Sandhills, the Piedmont, up into the mountains.
It's always a topic of discussion, and when you think about it, we have some of the most diverse weather and topography and geography and geology in this region, as opposed to other places. You think about a place like Hilton Head or Charleston, and all the way up to Bald Head Island in North Carolina is classified as subtropical. I mean, you go down there, and there are naturally palm trees. Palm trees naturally grow as far north as Bald Head Island. Now, can they survive inland and north of there? Sure, but they're not natural. And, of course, alligators have been found as far north naturally as the Dismal Swamp in Virginia, but they're not in Lake Norman naturally. So when you go westward, we go up in elevation, and when we go up in elevation, we change weather, we change climate. And somebody once told me that, you know, every time you drive an hour north, it's like going up 300 feet in the air. Well, we do that in North Carolina when we go from the Outer Banks to, say, Mount Mitchell, which is almost 7,000 feet. It's the highest point east of the Rockies. So we get as much snow in our mountains as they do in upstate New York, but yet we have alligators in the same state. It is a very, very diverse place.
So when that puts, when you have to put on your meteorological hat, boy, try to say that one. are you doing, you have to do at least three different forecasts.
And that's when you usually, you know, reach for the Advil or the Tylenol because you're pulling your hair out. I can honestly remember a time here not that many years ago where we had tornado warnings in the eastern part of our viewing area because temperatures were in the 70s and we had blizzard warnings in the mountains at the same time. You know, over at WBTV, we cover 23 counties of weather from the Virginia and Tennessee line all the way through to Rockingham. That's a huge. So you go from 300 foot elevation to almost 7,000 feet. And so, yeah, it can create so many challenges, you know, just because the weather is so different across so many different places within that, just across our region.
Just your viewership.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I don't even take into account a place like the Outer Banks, which, frankly, is just one of the most difficult places to forecast weather. It all depends on wind direction, and, you know, you have so many different ocean currents there. But I heard one time somebody said, and I don't have any reason to doubt this, that this is the most challenging place to forecast weather in North America is this zone right here, because we do go from subtropical to those peaks are, they equate to being in the Maritimes of Canada when you get that far north, say like Grandfather Mountain, Mount Mitchell. So it's just, now if we were to drive from Hilton Head to Canada, it would take us 2 days, but yet we can do it in a day just by going up in elevation here. So you talk about just dramatic climatology.
Well, as I did in the open, there's no news for us that it's hot here
in the summertime. It's June, right? Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit about how to be safe in our Carolina outdoors. Do you have advice? So many people out there are hiking or fishing or running or cycling, doing things.
Yeah, the obvious things are, you know, when we talk about heat, we've got to talk about just knowing your body and how your body reacts. Particularly when we're active. I mean, that's what this show is all about. As you said, biking, hiking, swimming. And I'm not here to throw a damper on anybody's outdoor fun, but the moms and dads in particular, you've got to pay attention to your kids and your pets as well. Know the signs of heat stroke, heat exhaustion. If we're going to be in the water, fantastic, but keep an eye on everybody and make sure you've got life jackets and preservers. You're going to be out in a boat. Things happen fast, you know, and it's unfortunate, but the news constantly have stories about things that didn't work out the way, you know, we had hoped, and we just don't want that for anybody's families. But yeah, insects, snakes, you name it, this time of the year things are active here, so we just want to always remind. And I've heard one thing that's really, I think, a great idea, and especially when you've got, you know, infants or babies or whatever in the back seat, put a teddy bear in the back seat of your car. You put that child in the back seat of the car, take the teddy bear and put it in the front seat of the car. And if you see that teddy bear in the front seat of the car, that way you know there's somebody in the back. Because we get so distracted. The phone rings. We got a big meeting to go to. We don't think about what we got to be thinking about, which is maybe you're taking the kid to preschool today or wherever time, you know. So those are the types of things. I just want to remind everybody, it's a great time of the year here. Have fun. But we got to be careful as well.
Well, it's an unfortunate thing for a subject matter.
It is. But it's reality. It's reality.
It's important that we talk about it just to put it out there so people do lock in to remember if the teddy bear's in the front seat.
And you think about it, Bill. This is the time of the year we all kind of let our guard down a little bit. You know what? We eat too much. We probably drink a little more than we should. We get fireworks, you know, all kinds of, you know, we go out on the lake. We jump off of rocks. We do all kinds of things we probably wouldn't normally do. But that's what this is. School's out. We should have fun. But we just got to have fun, but be careful, too. That's all I'm saying.
We've got Al Conklin on from WBTV sharing good advice about the weather and also how to be safe in the weather. Of course, don't drink caffeine and alcohol as much and drink that water.
That's right.
Make sure you hydrate.
It's the best thing you can do is the water. And hey, one thing while we're on that subject, you know, we're just coming out of this week where we hit 97 degrees in Charlotte. And that was the hottest temperature we've had in almost 2 years. But I have looked down the road. The last week in June and going into early July, the forecasts are generally for somewhat wetter weather. And also somewhat warm weather. Not necessarily as hot as it's been, but a little closer to average, which is closer to 90. Typically, we're in the upper 80s to about 90 this time of the year. That we can handle. When it gets to 98, 99, and the heat index gets over 100, it's a little harder. And that's a little more out of the ordinary than what we normally see here, at least for an extended period of time.
Well, I could talk to you a bunch about that. The past few years of something called a heat dome has been elevated into the news. I don't think we're in a heat dome now.
We're not.
Which is fortunate, but that, well, I have to save that one for another thing. I want to get back to the water and to the weather that you mentioned. So many people are, as we've talked about, being active. Maybe they're on a ridgeline hike. Maybe they are out on one of the area lakes. This is something that we learn in elementary school, but I think we forget, or maybe it's just maybe I forgot. Tell us about thunderstorms.
Okay.
And then how we should react if we're fishing under a tree at a farm pond, or maybe we're on that ridgeline hike, or maybe we're in a boat in the middle of Lake Norman. What do we do with thunder and especially lightning?
Yeah. Well, if I can give a shameless plug here, that free WBTV weather app, download that thing. And the reason I am so impressed with it is because, number one, it's got that interactive radar right there at your fingertips. You know, it used to be the joke 10 years ago, you'd go to a party and somebody would ask you, hey, it's going to rain this afternoon. And say, well, I don't have a pocket Doppler here. You know what? Now we have basically radar right in our fingertips. Okay, and that's number one. Number two is, with this particular app, if we have either heavy rain in the area or lightning within 5 miles of your location, it sends out an alert to let you know that lightning is around. Because sometimes you may not hear the thunder, but if lightning is close by, it lets you know. But to get back to your answer, or your question, this lightning is a killer. And so if you're walking that ridge line or if you're out on the lake, you have got to be able to get back to someplace safe quick. And I'm sorry, but under a tree is not a safe place. Lightning is simply electricity. And what it's looking for when that bolt comes down, it's looking for the path of least resistance. So if you're under a light stand at the baseball park, if you're under a foam pole, or if you're under a large oak tree, guess what? You're in direct line there. That is not good. The idea is that we want to take cover. And here's the thing. The rule of thumb is if you see lightning or hear thunder, it's 30 minutes out of the water or off the ball field until we're sure that things have passed. And there are definitely, I can tell you this, there are definitely bolts from the blue, meaning a thunderstorm can be 10 miles away and you do not see it or hear it, and the lightning can be out very far in advance. And so, and unfortunately, my wife's got some members of her family that were actually struck by lightning that from a storm that was 9 miles away. And that happens, so we just need to be careful.
Ooh, well, get that app. Also, at Twitter, Al Conklin, go there because all that stuff spills over.
I've got it all there. I'm on Facebook as well. Come hit me anytime.
I'm going to get in trouble with TJ. I got to ask this. Fayetteville and Columbia are perceived as two of the hottest places in the Carolinas. Is that real?
It is very real. And here's the thing. It's not just those two places. When you think about from Augusta to Columbia to Fayetteville to Richmond, some of the hottest weather we have in this country. It has to do with where ancient seas used to be. That's sandy soil down there. It cools off quicker at night, but it also heats up faster, and that's a place that gets much more heat than we do in the Carolinas. That's why you don't have to go very far to the east or south, and it's much hotter. Columbia is typically 5 or 6 degrees hotter than Charlotte, as is Fayetteville, Richmond, Augusta, those same areas.
Oh, he's Al Conklin, meteorologist at WBTV. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Keep cool.